Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mets are home after their first off day of the year. They welcome in the first place red-hot Miami Marlins. And joining us right now, the manager of the Mets, Luis Rojas. Luis, how you doing?
Hi, Luis.
Hey, guys. What's up, Joe, Evan? Great being with you guys, talking to you guys now.
Thanks. Did Yoenis Cespedes give you any indication that he was unhappy with his role, where he was batting in the order, how often he was playing, such as that?
No, not at all. Joe and I have had a lot of conversations, and the conversations that we had over the weekend in Atlanta was about his progression in the outfield. That's something that we were looking at as him, you know, could go transfer there in the outfield. I mean, one of the things that we're looking to improve, and him being an natural outfielder out there, it could definitely help us. You know, if he was in the condition, he could do it for the whole nine innings, you know, even for seven, knowing that we had depth in the roster, that, you know, somebody that can come in those last two innings and probably play for him. But those were our conversations, and trying to shift guys in the DH spot and different things like that. But none of the, you know, the conversations were about where I'm hitting in lineup or why a day off like he had it in Boston or anything like that.
Have you heard from him? I mean, and now that he's gone, Luis, have you heard it all from Cespedes? Has the organization heard from him at this point?
Me personally, I can talk for myself. Me personally, I haven't spoke to him since probably Saturday when we talked before and during the game. I didn't see him after the game that day or that night. But, you know, I text him Sunday pregame, tried calling him pregame, and then right after the game is when I found out that he opted out, and we haven't talked. We haven't really gotten in touch with him or he reaching out or anything.
Are you mad at him? Because I'd be mad. I mean, especially you have a relationship with him. He's on your baseball team. And look, if he didn't want to play because of COVID, we all understand that. But as a human, are you kind of ticked off that you haven't heard from him even now?
No, I'm not mad. You know, a lot of us that know Yo for a couple of years now in the organizations that we know, you know, he's gone through a lot of different things in his career and his life. And, you know, Joe is very, you know, a lot to himself. You know, he's got his personality. You know, everyone got along with him great here in the clubhouse. And we understand a lot of a lot of the demeanor, a lot of the behavior that he can have sometimes when he's quiet. And, you know, so it's something that, you know, goes with his personality, just making probably a decision like this that he didn't share with many guys, and he's just going to go ahead and do it. I mean, it was a surprise for us after the game. Before the game, we were just trying to find out where he was, because he wasn't on site when, you know, as we were getting close into the game, and we found out that he wasn't there at the park. But, you know, I don't think none of us here is mad at him or anything. We just, you know, understanding and supporting him for making this decision.
Talking to the manager of the New York Mets, Luis Rojas. They get ready to welcome in the Marlins, red-hot Marlins, first place 6-1. Over the weekend. All right, let's talk about the injuries here, Luis. We know Cano is on the 10-day injured list. He says he's going to be ready after that. But how about McNeil and how about Rosario? Where are they? Are they playing tonight, and where are they right now?
Well, I saw Rosario earlier. Right now we're waiting on McNeil to see some of the tests and some of the treatment. Rosie is pending to do that as well. Their status is pending for that still. We're really optimistic that they can be available tonight. You know, we still don't know whether they're going to be a starter or they're going to be able to be ready off the bench to come. So we're waiting on some things that they have to go through this afternoon in order to know what their starters are going to be.
Is it possible either one of them ends up on the injured list too?
That's when I think you know, the training staff, the performance staff is really optimistic on how they've been responding from, you know, when they got removed Monday and then Tuesday, and then, you know, and the day off yesterday helped so much. So they progressed really well. They responded really well to treatment, and that rest yesterday definitely was huge. So today they're very optimistic. They just need to, you know, run some more tests and see how they are and how they're moving.
Is the performance team as confident in Cano as Cano is in Cano? Because like Joe mentioned it, Robbie said, hey, 10 days, I'm ready to go. Does everyone else have that sense of optimism around his injury?
I understand Robbie 100%. You know, he worked really hard in his physical condition, you know, to come with the first camp or now second camp. And, you know, he's such a good shape. But, you know, as you guys have seen, the weather, how it is, you know, starting to ramp up in the season and playing all these games, you know, 9-inning games that we weren't doing in camp, you know, things like this are going to happen. So him coming out of the game that day and then, you know, seeing the MRI, you know, he feels really good as far as, like, he almost in the game, he felt that he could have kept going. And it was more like precaution, like, hey, I got this. And it's like, okay, let's pull you because we know how hot it is and you've been playing every day. So he felt good the next day, but, you know, this is something that obviously needs the treatment. He's responded really well. He's also progressed in the couple of days that he's been with the performance staff. So, you know, that's something that we'll have to see in a day-to-day, but he is moving. He is progressing. He's responding really well.
Luis, this team has gotten on base plenty. I mean, you got every game, you get a million base runners, and every game, you leave a million base runners on. I mean, you did win the other day, but getting the big hit has been a big problem so far this year, maybe the biggest problem. And I want to focus in on Alonso because he's looked a little better. He's got a couple base hits going to right field. He had that game when he walked three times. But he still is not what we would expect him to be at this point. Are you concerned at all about Alonso right now?
I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned about him. We talk. I mean, he's Alonso's a great guy to talk to. He's very coachable. And you know, we always take advantage of that. We think that he's been slowing things down. He's doing that, what you just said, you know, walking, getting a single there, driving the ball the other way, versus being over anxious, which we saw that at the beginning of the season, where he's probably trying to do too much. And then finally he run into a fastball and hit a ball like 160 miles per hour over the Green Monster. And I think that took some relief off or something, but he's been slowing things down, seeing the ball longer. That's been the walk, the byproduct of a good at bat. And now, you know, he's been able to also shoot the ball the other way. So, you know, we're looking at him to keep progressing and keep slowing things down and keep getting his pitch to hit and lay off of those that he can do anything with. So, you know, there's no concern, and this kid has got the best attitude to go through, you know, some things where he doesn't get what he wants.
Do you think the nature of it only being 60 games actually creates guys pressing even more in the early going? Because they don't have as much time as normal. Like, it's only April. I got a long time. Do you sense that could happen with guys who get out of the gate slumping?
It could. It could. You know, it could play that little game in your head, the first, you know, sense of urgency that, okay, man, I got to go. But if that's what we're here, you know, coaches and teammates, just to remind each other that you can't do that because you got to play tonight's game. And if your focus goes outside of that, then you know, you're not going to have that laser focus you need in this game. I mean, there's so much failure here, and you cannot pay attention to anything else but, you know, the game of the day, the pitcher you're facing. You know, stay on the game pitch to pitch. So we gotta stay what our feet are. I mean, today's date is the most important day, and that's the approach that we gotta remind each other here. Even though it's a sprint, I mean, we know that, you know, the value of each game, you know, win, lose, but we gotta stay in the game of the day. And I think that's the one key thing that we gotta do as a team, just remind each other that.
you know, defensively, you guys played your best game of the year the other night against Washington. The defense was terrific. A bunch of guys made big plays. J.D. Davis made a couple big plays at third base. He had that play with Conforto throughout, I think it was Soto at third. Jimenez made a nice tag and all of that. Will you be more, you know, now that you got a guy like Billy Hamilton in center field, are you going to be more, you know, looking at the defensive aspect of it, maybe play Hamilton every day, maybe play Jimenez up the middle with Rosario, something like that? I mean, how about that with the defense right now, Luis?
Yes, that was a good. That was a really good game. The guys, you know, supporting the Rick, you know, who pitched such a great game as well, keeping the ball down, you know, making them commit, you know, and inducing contact, and the guys just making staying on their toes, making plays behind them. So we're looking at more of that. That's one of the areas that we want to improve. And you know, from the Cespedes conversation that I told you earlier, is that just one of the things that we're looking for with him, just to transfer him into left field as well, and making part of that adjustment that we're trying to do to improve our defense. And one of the things we're thinking is to play Jeff McNeil in left field a little more now.
That's something he did
last year more. He played in right as well. We can have JD play at third base more. He looked really good that night in Washington, and both nights in Washington. So we're looking to make some adjustments and improving the areas that we need to improve. I mean, Wolfen's thrown the ball better in the last few games as well. So those areas that hurt us a little bit, we want to definitely make that adjustment as soon as we can, because we know how good of a team we are. We know we can get some W's if we take care of the ball, and then if we finish games the way we can.
Talking to Luis Rojas, you mentioned how great Porcello was. Why'd you take him out? He's thrown 81 pitches. I think he's retired 10 in a row. His pitch count was very similar to his last performance, which was 4-plus innings. And it worked. I mean, that's one of those things. Like, obviously it worked. Seth Lugo came in and was great. But why? Why take him out at 81 pitches after 7 innings?
Well, it's the first 7-up that one of our pitchers does, the first one he does. I mean, this guy's a veteran, too. He's built up to the 100-plus pitches. You know, we had a conversation about probably coming into the fourth time through their lineup and, you know, making a change in the middle of an inning or something where his pitch count was, and having a fresh bullpen, because our bullpen, you know, from the Kilo May day on Sunday when he pitched, gave us the 4-day, gave the bullpen a blow. And then the next day we had Jerry Hughes throw the 2 innings. You know, we had some breathers there that guys have a lot of days of rest, and then we have the Thursday off. So there's a lot around that game for those 2 innings with guys being fresh. Lugo hasn't thrown in a while, and you know, it worked, like you said. Next thing you know, Lugo's out there and throws 6 strikes to get 3 outs, and then, you know, he can go back out there and do it again.
Right.
So it was around that the decision were that, you know, when it was made. Rick gave us, you know, an excellent inning, and then after that, you know, we trust our bullpen. And I know there's some things that gone the other way, but the guys are going to turn it around. They're making the adjustment.
Now, let me give you one move that didn't work. Tomas Nito, 2 on, 2 outs, 6th inning. It's 5-3. Big moment in the game. Why not Dom Smith? Why not go for that big hit in the 6th inning? Why did you decide to leave Tomas Nito in the hit?
Well, one of the things that day, as you guys know, we're short with our bench, and we had 2 catchers in the lineup. One was DHing, was Ramos. And then Tomas was catching. And we were to fall to our last catcher, you know, no more catcher behind. Lee Sanchez, who would have been the catcher coming in after Nito, and then we had to defend three more innings. And, you know, that's a nightmare, not having another catcher and being able to be out there and, you know, exposed for a couple of innings. And, you know, 2 outs in the 6th. Nito's already had a single in the game as well. He hasn't been swinging the bat, you know, terribly for us. It's just, he's changed his approach a little bit. He's been a little better this year, you know, zoning in and everything. So there's a lot of balance in there for that decision, you know, how short we were in the bench and how early it was with the 2 catchers on. If we had the two catchers on the bench, that would have probably been a different approach at the moment, you know, knowing that we're going to have depth with our catchers coming in. That's one of the reasons we had the 3 catchers. You know, the DH for Ramos fell into that day there, just, you know, having Robbie down, McNeil down, Rosario down for that game, it really put us in that position.
But think about it this way, because this is the way I was thinking about while watching the game. Because you're right, obviously you've got Ramos at DH, of Ollie Sanchez. You put Ollie Sanchez in after that to catch. If it comes back down to the bottom of the order, you can pitch hit again and then use Ramos to move from DH to catcher. At that point, it's unlikely you're going to need to pinch hit for the pitcher because it would be like the third time after. So does that play into it at all, that you could have bought some time by making that move there? You go to Ali Sanchez for a few innings, and who knows what the game looks like? I mean, maybe you guys have the lead. If you have the lead, you're not going to pinch hit for Ali Sanchez, and then this problem doesn't even exist.
Yes. No, definitely. We run through that. We talk about that. That's something that we definitely, as we're approaching, and even before the game, something like that happens, we think of. And, you know, the sixth inning there with two outs is just, you know, something that, you know, I didn't go for, and I just kept stay with Nito for that bat.
You know what's funny? I want to give you a compliment, too, on this. In that same game where I loved it was when you didn't mess around in the fifth inning and went to J-Riz Familia, because it – to me, it's almost similar where you never know what the eighth or ninth inning is going to look like. You got to keep it right there. And with bases loaded, two outs, fifth inning, Nats could blow it open. You went right to one of your better relievers. So that one absolutely worked. I mean, because sometimes, and we always say this, like the biggest play of the game, maybe in the fifth or sixth inning. And I thought, even though you guys didn't win, that pitch or that at bat, J-Riz Familia coming in, was the biggest sequence to keep you guys close. And that move absolutely worked out.
Yeah. And the depth for the bullpen, you know, gives us that luxury to use guys like Familia that early. We've used guys like, we're going to see Hughes coming in early like that. We're going to see different guys. We're probably going to get used to see Lugo doing that, but now we're going to start using Lugo a little bit more later in the game as Hughes came into the bullpen now. And right. for you guys know, G. Selman is also joining the roster today. So we'll have more guys there in the middle that can definitely make our bullpen even deeper.
Who's going down
today? Gazelman's back today. Is that what you said, Luis?
Yeah, G should be back, and Zamora should. It's the pitcher we're optioning to the alternate side.
Right, I got you.
Now, is Lugo the closer now? Can we officially say that Seth Lugo is your closer?
Not yet. I mean, we have a lot of guys that can close games. I keep saying that, and I'm going to stay firm with that because guys here have the ability to close games. And, you know, not every day we're going to have a Diaz. Not every day we're going to have a Lugo available. Not every day we're going to have, you know, a Familia or a Wilson or even a Betances that has the history of closing games. So, you know, we have guys that can do it. We have a lot of different guys. And like I told you, we're making adjustments in the bullpen. And, you know, that's one of the things that, my perspective as a manager, like I really like to have an organized bullpen, everyone, you know, rested, everyone ready to go, you know, as well as you can have a bullpen. I like to have it that way. So we're keeping everyone ready for that last third of the game. And we have some guys that can come definitely in the middle and bridge a lot and bridge for us and do some things.
Where is your confidence with Edwin Diaz? Because we've seen him a couple of times since that implosion. One was that seven-inning performance where he came in the seventh inning, and it was okay. He walked the leadoff hitter, but his last performance was a lot better. It was a 1-2-3 inning, and we know that he said he wants to pitch more often. I would probably – my response, by the way, if he said that to me, Luis, would be pitch better. Okay, pitch better, I'll pitch him more often. I'm sure you restrained yourself, though, but where is your confidence right now with Edwin Diaz based on these last two performances?
Really good. The biggest thing was the emotion. That game there with the Red Sox, which was the only game he's had like that, he got emotional on the mound, and that's the one thing. And if we can control that, we'll be okay. And I told him this, and, you know, him and I spoke about this, just about, you know, knowing what's going on out there. You got to control the scenario. You got to control, the platform out there, because if you're showing emotions, it means that, you know, it's almost like you don't have control of what's going on. And whether it's the Ozuna homer, that's something that you had control of. I mean, you knew you wanted to throw that pitch right there. It was a 98 on the block, and, you know, he got hit over the wall right center. What can you do, you know? And he was nodding his head. He was smiling because there's nothing he could do. So that's confidence right there. And he knew exactly what happened. And then, you know, the Boston day, he was yelling. He was saying some familiar Spanish words that I could hear from the dugout. And he wasn't that same guy. So we talked about that, about the emotions, and the last two performances has been that guy. No emotions, just out there throwing, competing, knowing that he can beat you. And that's the Edwin Diaz that we're looking to have the whole year. So the last two have been that guy.
Luis, very impressive, Andre Jimenez. I mean, this kid looks like he really got something with him. How about him? And we should probably see him in a lineup more often, right? I mean, we have just about every game, but how about Jimenez?
Jimenez is, man, this kid is just a great learner, skilled learner. He's gotten so much stronger, and I think that's been the big key of it for him, just learning the game more and more and getting the experience. That's going to happen naturally, just because this kid has a high IQ. He's always asking. He's like a sponge. But him getting stronger compared to when I managed him in 2018, it's been a big key for him. I mean, now at the plate, he's been able to keep his speed despite putting a little bit more weight on him. I mean, this kid is definitely something special out there. You know, he's making plays, making them look easy, good base runner, giving good at-bats. I mean, you name it. He's done everything we've asked for him at the beginning of the season. Coming off the bench, just doing different things. So, you know, very excited for him and, you know, very, very excited for his future as well.
You guys welcome in the Marlins. I've never heard of Humberto Mejia. He's being called up to his major league debut. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, right. But is it difficult, in all seriousness, jokes aside, no, it scares me too, that you're playing guys that I don't even know if there's film on. I mean, I don't even know if they're taping games down in single A where he's pitching. But does that actually pose a challenge that the Marlins possess a few guys that maybe there's just less scouting reports on?
So, yeah, I mean, yes, there is a history of him. I mean, our system, and I think probably every team's system, you know, has history of every guy that's thrown a ball professionally or, you know, even further back than that. So there is history. There is video. We've seen it. We study him. We already know, you know, some of the way he pitches. I know exactly what you're talking about, like, you know, but just the unknown and how can that really impact just the unknown. Now you got to wait and see. And next thing you know, it's the third inning when you start to figure things out. And you know, that's what you try to do right away. You know, everyone was started moving. Our hitting coaches started searching for data and video, and they're presenting it to the players. So they're seeing the model of his pitches and everything they need to do in order to prepare for the game. But, I mean, it's just how the information is now in baseball. I mean, there's games, there's videos everywhere. I mean, you can find him. We have good systems, not only one, that we can see history of this kid that's going to start against us, and we can definitely prepare for that.
Real quick, I know you got to run, Luis. Dom Smith, is he the primary DH now? I mean, are we going to see him in a lineup just about every day now?
We're planning on him playing, obviously having more playing time now that, you know, Cespedes is opted out. But, you know, DH, first base, left field, whatever, you know, those three positions, he's going to be playing that. But we should see Dom getting more chances now even.
Let's start the yep. winning streak or continue
indeed.
The winning streak
little
against the
here.
Marlins.
Little run,
indeed. And good talking to you. Stay healthy, Luis.
All right, amen, Luis. Amen. You too. Stay safe, and nice talking to you, like always.
Be indeed. Well.
Luis Rojas, the manager of the New York Mets.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!